So I'm going to start a three-part series here. This is called Loosen Up, Three Simple Ways to Eliminating Stress. Now, today, most of what I'm going to share with you, you already know. And I'm going to prove that by asking questions as much as by giving answers, okay? So first of all, let me ask you, do you feel there's too much stress in the world? If there is, raise your hand. Good. All right, look, no, keep your hands up, please. Now, everyone look around the room. That is called social proof. That means that you're not the only one who believes that, okay? Now, if there's too much stress in your own life, raise your hand. Look around again. Once again, in the middle of a yoga group, we still even find people who say there's too much stress in their lives. Well, what I want to do is to help you embrace stress over this three-part series, understand it, and lessen the negative effects of stress on your life. Because stress, as you're going to find out, is not negotiable. You are supposed to be under stress. And I'll explain to you why you're supposed to be under stress, but you're supposed to be under a completely different type of stress than you think you are. And I also want to share with you how people are using stress to manipulate you in your life and in our society so we can begin to waken up a little bit. So like I said, I want to ask you all questions, and everybody watching online can hear your answers. So first of all, question number one, is stress good or bad? I'm hearing both, okay? Both. I'm hearing both. Predominantly when we talk about stress and we hear about it in the news and everything. That's a good answer, by the way. Y'all are ahead of me. But predominantly, what do we hear?
Bad.
Why? What does it do? What does stress do to us? It just shout out anything you think you've heard. Makes what? Makes you sick. That is true. It weakens your immune system because what stress does is it raises your cortisol level. Everyone knows of cortisol as the stress hormone. And so people tend to think, oh my gosh, I have to get rid of my cortisol. Cortisol is what regulates your metabolism. Cortisol is what helps keep you thin. Cortisol is also what reduces inflammation in your joints when you get inflammation. Cortisol is what allows a woman to produce a fetus. So we need cortisol. It's not the stress hormone we have to get rid of. We have to get it down in check. So when your cortisone levels are up, yes, it weakens your immune system. What does that mean if your immune system's weakened? Can't fight off infection, which means? More susceptible to illness. And if you're more susceptible to illness, let's keep this going. You're getting sick, and then what might even happen? You die. You die. The number one cause of death is stress in our culture. When you look at heart disease, when you look at stroke, when you look at all the other top killers, they are all exacerbated by stress. So stress weakens your immune system. What else does stress do to you? Does it make you happier or angrier and more reactive? Angrier and irritable. So it weakens your social structure. What else does stress do? Depression, thank you. Who said that? Great answer, Kelly. Depression. And when you get depressed, you're just demotivated. You don't want to do anything. You can get under too much stress and you literally will not want to do anything. Stress weakens your immune system. Stress also messes with your memory. They have proven that when you put people under stress, they don't think as clearly. Hello? And yet the model of management in this country still to this day is to intimidate people to do their jobs. If you do your job, I'll ignore it. If you don't do your job, I'll harass you. And that keeps people stressed, which makes them less likely to do their jobs well, and it also makes them like their jobs less. So when we talk about stress, in the common vernacular, stress is bad, and we know that a lot of bad things happen when we're under stress. This is what I want us to get this week. Like I said, there's two more parts to this, but this week I want you to understand that stress is what? What's that word? Primal, but only partially reinforced by our society. Now, why am I doing this? Because whenever a human being changes, what first happens is they get new information. So what I'm giving you this first week, hopefully, is some new information for you to look at, because we have to have a logical reason to make a change. You started out by saying you wanted less stress, right? Okay, you've got to do some things, and one of those things you've got to do is change your brain. And the way you change your brain is to begin to think new things. So I want to tell you and share with you some things about stress. Stress is what? This is what I want to deal with first. Stress is, what's that first word? Y'all tell me, what does primal mean? Fight or flight. What else? In other words, it's not exactly fight or flight. It's not exactly that. It's instinctual. Fight or flight is a part of the stress, and we're going to get to that. Yes. But it's what? Instinctual. What else? It's tied to our evolution. Do you understand that? It's actually something we have needed, or we would not evolve. So stress is primal. It is supposed to be there. The thing is, we talk about stress as if there is one garden variety of stress. Now, our bodies, take this in, this is extremely important. New knowledge coming your way, okay? Our bodies don't know the difference. Do you get that? Your body does not know the difference between a genuine threat and an artificial or imagined threat. And most people go around artificially imagining threats most of the time. Now, I heard several people go, yes, like isn't that, and I do it too. But do you know why you do it again? New information. You do it because you actually believe that if you worry and panic about something enough, if it happens, well, at least I'm prepared. They have shown that to be true. So don't get down on yourself because you're like everybody else, that you're under stress, because it is a primal thing, but it is negative and it's destructive in so many ways. So what we've got to do is to understand that there's different types of stress. First of all, everything we know, that was totally wrong. Take two. Everything that started the conversation about stress began in 1936 when a Canadian biologist named Selye wrote a 74-line article. Do you know how small that is? For the magazine Nature. And from that, the entire stress thing got released. The whole stress balls, coaching people on stress. You know, I'm a professional public speaker. You focus on stress, people will hire you, because there is so much stress in the work environment, because there's so much stress in our world, because it's ingrained in us. And what we first have to understand is we don't need to get rid of stress like you would think. We'll talk about that later. But to understand it's normal. But we got to stop using the word stress. There is no such thing as stress. And I don't mean just in the way Wayne Dyer talked about it. He says, there's no such stress in the world, or else I would tell people to go out and bring me a bucket of stress. Right? There's no stress in the world. There's only stressful thinking. But really, we've got to understand that when Selye wrote this article, he was saying that there are two very important types of stress. I want to share something with you real quick. I thought this was funny. This is my book, Till You Love God, which is a daily devotional that I wrote over a period of 7 years. I wrote these daily messages as if God was writing them. And I won't get into the whole thing, but I thought it was kind of funny because every morning Marty reads my book to me as part of our daily ritual. So today I'm talking about what? Stress. Let me read you what today's To You Love God is. To you, a hummingbird buzzes about from place to place. It flits here, darts there, and then zips off somewhere else. The actions of this tiny aerial acrobat seem random and chaotic. Yet there's nothing haphazard about this brilliant little bird. It follows its instincts, doing what it is meant to ensure its survival. Frenetic activity is all you see most often in the flight of the hummingbird, yet this vibrant creature can sit quietly for long stretches. When not feeding, it rests at one with its surroundings. Unlike the hummingbird, you dart about even when it's not necessary. You don't stop and savor the life you're living. Your busyness increases your adrenaline level, causing you to hurry all the more. It also brings on stress, which releases endorphins. In short, you get a rush from rushing. The rush of rushing masks the joy of living. Take a few moments right now to gaze about, drink in your life, feel gratitude for what you have. If even for a moment, peace be still. I love that. The rush of rushing. I wish I would have come up with it. And honestly, I didn't. Marty did. She pointed out to me that I was always so busy, I always seemed to get a rush from rushing. I liked staying at that stressed level because that's how I knew where to be. And I thought it was ironic. Here I was, I wrote that about 5 years ago, but 2,000 years ago, someone said, let me go to the book of Matthew. Here we go, Matthew 6. Right after Jesus Christ tells everyone what has become known as the Lord's Prayer, okay, right after he tells them, right after Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, Jesus turns around and starts talking about stress. Don't you think that's interesting? Here's what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or what about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value, are you rather, not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor they spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not clothed like one of these. Now, why would Jesus do this? Would he would just go, oh, by the way, don't worry and freak out? No, it's because people were doing what? Worrying and freaking out. This was going on 2,000 years ago. It's still going on. And it's going on today because it is used as a way, in many ways, of manipulating us. Stress is what? Number one? Primal. It's normal, but only partially reinforced by society, because there are different types of stress, as I said. These are Hans Selye's two types of stress. Number one, read it out loud. Distress. There's no such thing as the word stress, friends. We have dropped the dis from it. Do you understand? There's no such word as stress. We've dropped the word distress to now where all of a sudden it becomes a separate entity rather than something we are in and under. Raise your hand. Does that make sense? We are in what? Distress. We are in distress, which means we are stimulated by what? Extreme emotion leading to fight, flight, or freeze. That is what we tend to think of as stress, and it is actually distress. And we're not meant to be that way. Not meant to be that way. We live in the safest, healthiest, wealthiest time in all of history. And if you doubt any of that, simply Google it. It is true. Violent crime in this, all crime in this country has dropped consistently over the last three decades, especially violent crime with three cities that are glowing exceptions. But within this country, Alex and I were talking about this earlier today, that when we were kids, you remember how you'd go out and you'd leave your house unlocked? Raise your hand when you did that, right? Would you do that today?
No.
But you live in a safer time. Take that in. You don't believe it's a safer time because bad news sells. Because if it bleeds, it leads. Because when I was a child, there were three networks. And when the fourth one came along, everybody was like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do on Fox? Thank God they discovered The Simpsons. Or Fox, I don't think, would have made it. There were three. That meant you had a half-hour newscast twice a day dedicated to everything that was going on in the world. Today, we have approximately 600 to 1,000 hours of news every week. It all has to be filled up, and it all has to be, by definition, bad. Why? Why does news have to be bad? Why? You won't watch. Why? I listened to a behavioral psychologist talk about this on a TED Talk the other day, and it just blew me away. News serves no, take this in, it might upset you. It serves, it did me, no purpose other than to entertain. They have shown no correlation between news and changing voting behavior. If you are an ardent supporter of Donald Trump, or if you are an ardent supporter of Hillary Clinton, if you watch a negative news story about Donald Trump, you will be more for Donald Trump after that story than before. The same is true for Hillary Clinton. News is entertainment. Why? Because entertainment has to have two things, and that's it. To be entertainment, it has to have two things. Number one is shock. Number one is surprise. Ever gone to see, and they're different, ever gone to see a movie and it's had all your favorite actors and it was directed by your favorite director and everything, but you halfway through you figured it out? Yes, raise your hand. Did you enjoy that movie as much, yes or no? No, because what was missing? Shock and surprise. News is there to shock and surprise you. The problem is, when you get shocked and surprised, do you become more stressed or less stressed? Say it out loud like you mean it. More stressed. Not only is the news there to stress you, the grocery store is stressing you. Absolutely. Roberta, back when you first started shopping, how many kinds of cereal do you think they had compared to how many kinds of cereal we have today?
Way less.
Like cornflakes, Wheaties, there was like 12. Now there are literally aisles. Now what they have shown is that it stresses you. Even if you know, I was a Lucky Charms guy for years, okay? I don't even eat cereal now, but it was always Lucky Charms. But the thing is, all the other cereals are sitting there trying to get you to go away from Lucky Charms. So they're giving you offers and special bundles and doing all kinds of things to make you choose something else. We have more choice today, which does not decrease stress, friends, it increases it. We're living in a society that keeps us stressed so that it can buy our allegiance and it can get our money. Why? It works. There is nothing more primal than stress. If I stress you, I can typically get you to do something a lot quicker than if I don't. So, number one, distress. Distress is stimulated by extreme emotion leading to what? Fight, flight, or freeze. Now, let me tell you about the second type. This is the part that the media does not talk about. This is called eustress. Once again, when Hans Selye wrote this article in 1936, he did not say, let's only talk about distress and call it stress. He said there are two types of stress. They both get equally stored in your body. Take that in a second, that's important. Eustress is stimulated by what? Your divine purpose. EU, by the way, it simply means good. Good stress. It is stimulated, and I'm not saying this. This is Hans Selye. He's saying that everyone who comes onto this planet has something that if they will do it, they will have the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest wealth, the greatest impact, and the greatest peace of mind. Because distress and eustress both get stored in the body. The difference is distress must be actively exported from the body through exercise, etc. And we'll talk more about that later. Eustress is dissipated by simply doing what it's pushing you to do. It self-dissipates. How many of you have heard, do what you love and the money will follow? How many of you have heard what I just said, that everybody has a divine and sacred purpose? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Just answer the question. How many of you are living it?
Yes.
Good. Those of you who are not, understand, it's not like you have to just quit your job and immediately go off and become a rug maker or something like that. But start making rugs. Start making rugs. Give them away. Sell them. There is something inside of you that is calling you to express into the world. I truly believe that the universe is so smart, it knows who to put here, when, and why. And that includes you. Nobody's here just for the ride. You're here to do and to give as much as you can. And if you don't, that's why you're under stress. That's why with only 5% of the world's population, the United States consumes 80% of the narcotic drugs. 80% prescription I'm talking about. That doesn't even count all the other ones, which are becoming more and more legal. Why in many cases? Because people aren't living who they're meant to be. They're not allowing eustress to drive them to be who they're meant to be. Distress is always going to be there. And people are going to use it to move you, to train you, to push you, to have power over you. But eustress is something you can choose and should choose now, starting now. You know, I'm an ordained minister, I'm an international speaker, I'm all this kind of stuff. You think I just all of a sudden landed there? I decided this is what I wanted to do, and I felt like a total idiot, like I could never achieve any of it, like it was way beyond me, but I just started doing it. And the same thing works for you. Begin to notice your eustress and your distress this week. Avoid the distress. Emphasize the eustress. And next week, we're going to talk about how to eliminate stressful mental junk food. All right? Grab somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. So, Infinite Spirit, we celebrate this ongoing issue of worry, stress, distress. And we celebrate the eustress, that little drop that you placed inside each and every one of us that guarantees our greatest happiness, satisfaction, joy, fulfillment, and giving. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to exploit that and to diminish the distress in our life, because it's just there to try and get us to buy a different box of cereal, and we can make happier, healthier choices. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more. There's no more complaining. People are changing.